Jayananda Prabhu was a little bit older than the other devotees in San Francisco. Jayananda was not your regular temple devotee. He was driving a cab. He was having a job. He was actually the only source of income in San Francisco. Everyone else was sort of out there in clouds, you know, that were nourished by substances, and then they had joined. And so having a job was not the most common thing, but Jayananda somehow or other had a job. He also was qualified. He was an engineer, but he didn't work like an engineer because he said that he didn't like that kind of arrogance or pride. He was rather taking a more humble position than just simply driving a cab. Jayananda became the temple president in the San Francisco temple, and he was in that way caring for the devotees. It wasn't like today there are, we are an established society with established policies and established procedures. It was much more informal. It was very much a family, and Jayananda, because he was older, he was almost the father of the whole situation. And it was like that. If it wasn't that there was a central storeroom with clothes for the brahmacharis, and you know, you'd ask a temple commander. No, it was just Jayananda would see, oh, you need a sweater. And he would just buy it, you know. He would bring it. He would really care for his family and really in a fatherly mood. Very sweet. So, Jayananda was particularly known for his kindness and his love. Of course, I never met him in person, so to sit here today and speak about him is a little limited. But one thing is that I did meet certain devotees that were amongst Jayananda's core group, right? And I tell you, they had changed. They had something about them. They showed a level of care, talking about people first, talking about really, sometimes the question arises, is the devotees, is the movement for the devotees? Or are the devotees for the movement of Lord Chaitanya spread Krishna consciousness all over the world? Jayananda was very much dedicated to that mission of preaching Krishna consciousness. He had no other interest, but at the same time, he always put the devotee first. And everyone felt like that. He cared for the individual. And that spirit he invested, although he was on the mission. But when it came to people, he wasn't like just throwing people into the sacrificial fire of the Sangatan mission and just push on, Prabhu. No, Jayananda, like one devotee who was on Jayananda's Ratiyatra card building team, was becoming ill, and he was really out of it with the flu and fever and all. And Jayananda, of course, was wanting him back on the team. He was building a cart. He was having a deadline. It was But he went to him very sweet and he said, "Oh, you know, how are you now? Are you getting a little better? We really miss your association." He never said, "You know, look, you know, when are you coming back? You know, I mean, like, we're building a cart here and, you know, you're just here resting, you know, which is like, you know, rotting in your bed, you know, like, it's like total Maya," which definitely was very much the spirit of the day. We're looking at an ISKCON which was so focused on the transcendental. Everything was much more, more tight in a way, right? I mean, you know, devotees, you're only supposed to speak about Krishna and nothing else. I mean, like nowadays, you know, how are you and so on. No, you couldn't ask that question, how are you? That question is Maya. You couldn't go for a walk, you know, just a walk. I mean, are you doing any service? I'm going for a walk. I mean, you know, what, are you going somewhere for devotional service or what? You know, I mean, just walking. Huh? I mean, we understand the context of the time. Right? And here's Jayananda, and he's completely ahead of everyone else. He's working harder in that mission than others, and at the same time, relaxed on personal dealings. Nothing like that sort of like, you know, like. But it's cold, the water. Just jump under. It's purifying. No, Jayananda brought in a totally different mood. He brought in a mood of personal care, a mood of caring for people first. So yeah, I saw that in one of Jayananda's followers who was like the inspiration in Vrindavan for many devotees. And one day there was a table full of drinks and someone walked into it and all the drinks, and this is India where it's very hot, you know, like 47, right? So drinks are something you want, drinks. And all the drinks were on the table and this devotee walks just in the table and all the drinks fall on the ground, right? Now, if that would happen, what would we say? I mean, you know, an idiot. You know? I could think of a few other words to add on after that. You know, I mean, you have any eyes or what? You know, I mean, anyone would be inclined to speak that way. And this devotee, in the mood of Jayananda, really carrying that mood, said, "Are you all right? Did you hurt yourself?" He never spoke about the drinks, right? Never. And I was like, I was looking, look at all the drinks. But no, it's like, did you hurt yourself? So this mood of caring so much for the people was not a strategy. It was his nature. He was really seeing like that because he was non-envious. To be non-envious is really the foundation of saintlyhood. If Jayananda is described as the first saint, you know, I mean, he was one of those devotees who just worked very hard, who was very always full of energy, just like the UK knows Tribhuvanath Prabhu, you know, like, and those who've never met him have still heard, and those who met him know that he was tireless. Jayananda was tireless. He was the first one up and the last one go to bed, always volunteering for the kitchen clean up, which, you know, in the Hare Krishna movement can be serious, especially in those days. Oh, I mean, I have cleaned up kitchens that looked like Kuruksetra. Pakora better on the ceiling. You know, everywhere. We had a kitchen. I don't know why. The sink where he used to wash the pots was on one side of the kitchen, and there was no drain. So there was a plastic drum under it, and when it was full, we had to carry it to the other side of the kitchen and empty it out. Things like that were totally normal in the Hare Krishna movements in those days. Yeah. So Jayananda just responded to all of that by being very simple, very humble. Meanwhile, buying devotees' clothes and taking care of their needs, he could not in any way take care of himself. He didn't like to. He would go to the Salvation Army and buy some clothes there. You know, $1 pence or 50 cents shirt or something like that. And so one day the devotee said, Jayananda, please spend some money and buy something decent. You're the president now. You can't really walk around in these floppy pants, you know. So Jayananda's like, no, please, Jayananda, do it. So Jayananda went to the shop. Okay, got some pens, this, that, and then he tried them on in the, you know, in the change room. And when he had them on, well, then he looked at the label, said, my God, so much money, so much of Krishna's money I cannot spend. So he put the old baggy pens over the new ones, and sure enough, got arrested by the shop detective. And yes, court moved quite fast, so shortly after, a few weeks after, he had to appear in court. And then he explained the whole thing. He said, he didn't have a lawyer, he just spoke directly to the judge and said, Your Honor, you know, I am a monk, and you know, we have no money, and, you know, I'm somehow or other, we are working hard, trying to, you know, keep our church going, and then, you know, yeah, normally I wear clothes from the Salvation Army, you know, but, they wanted me to get these pens, and then, you know, I just couldn't spend the money. I just couldn't spend the money of the church, Your Honor. I just couldn't do it. And then the shop detective was there in the court to testify. And the shop detective got so moved, he said, Your Honor, I'll pay for those pens. And he just got off in this way. And I was just like, because he is so sincere, that there was absolutely no manipulation. He was just, his sincerity was just very, very obvious to anyone and everyone. Right? Friendly, sincere, and very caring. He really was the man with the heart, and he conquered everyone in that way. So, then, and he was Mr. Enthusiasm, ready to do anything. He was, because he was an engineer, he was quite capable of fixing things. So he used to fix cars and just keep all the Sankirtan cars on the road. And Jayananda was always doing some menial service, right? He liked to do menial service. And he took out the garbage. The famous story is, of course, that one man met him in the street and he started preaching to him because that's what he did. He would preach to everyone. Yara deketara kaha Krishna upadesh, whomever you meet, instruct them about Krishna. And that was Jayananda's mood, right? And also the mood of the day. That is what devotees did. You know, just preach. There's no conversations. Just preaching. Man. Always preaching. But Jayananda did this in such a natural way. And everyone just... So when he started to preach, while he was taking out the garbage outside, one man on the street, the man became so impressed. And the man just later came to the temple and said, you know, I was thinking about it. And I was thinking, if the guy who takes out the garbage is like that, then what are the others going to be like? Right? Not realizing that Jayananda was the greatest, who took the most humble position. That is the mood of a Vaishnava. Of course, in the Nectar of Devotion, we find a description that Srila Rupa Goswami says that, generally speaking, devotees carry on from a previous life in devotional service. And they pick up from where they have left off. And if somebody is immediately very advanced, then we understand that they were very advanced from a last life. And Jayananda had all these qualities, these natural Vaishnava qualities, natural humility, natural respect for all living beings, right? Natural compassion and kindness towards all. All qualities that we are simply praying for, even after practicing for years, even after fixing ourselves in sadhana and service, we're still working on these qualities. Trying to be kind. Be kind, yes. Yes, try to be kind. It's difficult to be kind. It's difficult to be compassionate. Satsarupa Maharaj wrote a book about compassion, and it was an interesting book, because in the beginning of the book he says, I don't have any compassion, actually, but if I do have some feel some compassion, I feel it mostly for myself. it was a good opening, you know, I thought so, right? I mean, made you think, right there, off the bat, boom. Yes, so, but Jayananda was just showing the selflessness, right? Not providing for himself, always busy providing for others. So this is the mood of Lord Chaitanya, giving, putting, you know, just not paying attention to personal concerns and needs, and just looking at others' concerns and needs, and really looking and really trying, so focused on others that... Yeah, that was, of course. So he was doing all kinds of services. Jayananda had what you call a big physique, right? I mean, well, big guy, big arms, big hands, right? And as I said, fixing cars and so on, so some might say, well, a bit inclined towards the sudra activities, right? But he didn't just do that. He could also just be preoccupied by going out and selling incense, right? But then he would just sleep in the back of the car because he didn't want to spend any money on a place to stay. Well, so I just curl up on the back seat. Not a nice Sankirtan van with a nice bed or anything like that. No, just a car, and just sort of sleep somehow on the back seat, and you know, and just be out there. Jayananda was also could work the whole day, and then quickly jump in the shower and be there for the aarti. He's really into. Somehow or other, the aarti was not just, okay, this is the temple program and it's part of our religious duty to attend the temple programs as much as possible. And after a whole day work, of course, it's not possible. Because then we go and eat something. No, for him it was like, this is a celebration. This is a wonderful event. This is where, you know, the aarti of the Lord. The Lord is here now. And then he'd lead the most ecstatic kirtan. Although his favorite kirtan was Harinam. Yes. And it wasn't always so easy. Right? The Harinam party was on the wharf in San Francisco, and some guy came out of a fish restaurant and threw some fishy water in front of the party and partially over the devotees. Super stinking, smelly fish water. Right. But Bhajayananda was undeterred and just carried on. And when sometimes aggressive people would come, right, he just knew how to calm them down. One time they were working on the Rath cart and someone was, some big guy, some real, like, big, aggressive character started to throw garbage over the wall. You know, the old asuras that used to defile the yajnas of the sages, something like that. And didn't know what to do. Jayananda was just resting. But when he woke up, Nanjayananda went out of the gate and faced this person. He just walked straight up to him. Right? But not in an aggressive mood, not from, okay, let's have this one out. What do you want? I'll call you a bluff. You know? Oh, nothing like that. You know, like, okay, are you all right kind of mood? You know, like, what can we do for you? And the guy just calmed down. He his mood totally changed and he just left. He just went away. And that was Jayananda. Wherever he went, Johnny Ananda was his nickname. He would go into the market and back, you know, he would go to for Ratiyatra. He would beg everything. He did a Ratiyatra without getting any money from anybody, right? It wasn't like, okay, we do a collection and, you know, donate for Jagannath Ratiyatra, you know, be generous, otherwise, you know, what can we do? We have to build a new cart. Here's the thermometer and give a little bit more. We're already on 60%. And, you know, tonight, a little fundraising dinner. No, all these techniques were not employed. He would just go and meet people. He would go to Louis the Banana King and just, you know, preach to him, you know, and that he had to give a truck of bananas. And Louis gave a truck of bananas to Johnny Ananda, right? Yeah. So there was a whole truck of bananas for Ratiyatra, and that was to be distributed in this way, just by sincerity, just by his kind effulgence, by his enthusiasm. People would do it for him. They would do it. He'd pick up wood from places where it was discarded. Somehow or other, he scraped. He went to yards. He got everything donated and from scratch and started building these carts on his own. And just pull people off the street. Excuse me. Could you just do me a favor? Hold this plank. Yeah, then put in the nails, then throw in the hammer. Say, would you mind putting some nails in? Guys put in some nails, then Jayananda goes, wow, you're really good. Are you a carpenter? Flatters him like anything. And next moment, he's on the cart, you know. And then they smoke, you know. Then Jayananda says, stops them. Go wash your hands and mouth, you know. Go wash your hands and mouth, you know. Now, listen, you know, this is a holy cart. You cannot smoke here, you know, like, that's not possible, right? So, but some would go out for a walk then and get a smoke break, you know, that he would allow. But on the site, no. There's no smoking on the site. Not allowed, because they're building the sacred cart for Jagannath. And then, of course, all the prasadam and, you know, just as I was outside, Jai Krishna reminded that. And then the devotees were working and they were hungry and they needed prasad. They wanted prasad and there was no prasad. So Jayananda says, this is all prasad. This chariot is also prasad. Everything. It's all prasad. And then he took some grease off the wheel and ate it. This is also maha. And he ate that. And then everyone didn't complain anymore. It was okay. All right. Keep on hammering away. He would wake up devotees in the middle of the night and just say, wake up, wake up, wake up, open your mouth. And put a gulab gulab jamun. I don't know if he almost killed some devotees. Can you imagine getting a gulab jamun in your throat when you're waking up? It could be intense. But it's just prasadam, this faith. Of course, he would eat anything off the ground, whatever fell. And then we know that story that they were doing a prison program, and Dhanavir Das at the time had cooked a big feast for the prisoners. And they were driving with this feast, huge feast, and in the van full of devotees, and sitting right around the prasadam, and the smell was strong, and this and that. And Jayananda says, we should make sure that the prasadam is all right, you know? That there's like enough enough salt, sugar, not too little, not too much, and so on. We should taste it just to make sure that the quality is okay. Well, okay. They were tasting, and then they tasted more and they tasted more. And Jayananda was encouraging the devotees. And he's encouraging devotees to eat it all. And Dhanavir, who had cooked it all, is sitting there, but, you know? He's cooked this whole feast for the prisoners, and the devotees, just encouraged by Jayananda, are devouring the whole thing, and in the end, nothing left, nothing, they ate it all. So Dhanavir is sitting there, like, steaming, sort of, but a little bit afraid to speak out fully, openly. Anyway, then they reach the prison, and as they come to the gates, the guards stop them and said, okay, you know, yes, and said, we are doing a program, and they showed a letter, you have permissions. Then the guard asked, you have any food? He says, it's forbidden. It's forbidden to bring any food. Do you have any food? He said, no, we don't have any. Very transcendental, right? Very transcendental. So, the story of Jayananda, of his activity, is very nice because he was so much just an ISKCON devotee, you know, just your ISKCON devotee, enthusiastic about serving, ISKCON service, enthusiastic about preaching, cleaning, cooking, prasadam, you know, such a normal devotee, but so dedicated in these normal things. He read Prabhupada's books, he had a Bhagavad Gita, which he gave to Krita Karma, who was close to him and who was the devotee in Vrindavan. And this Bhagavad Gita, he underlined it, right? It was one of those underlined Bhagavad Gitas. It was totally underlined. Krita Karma used to read that Gita, and I was, you know, sort of his assistant. So I saw that Gita many, many times, Jayananda's Gita, and it just showed that he was very serious about studying. He wasn't just not reading the books. He was seriously reading the books and trying to understand what was there. And he was obviously not a slow. He was an engineer. It takes something to get that degree. And Jayananda was very fixed about chanting. Jayananda could sit down, would just sit down and start chanting, and in one go, chant 32 rounds. But he could do that. In 1976, in 1976 was a special year in New York City, because it was the time that of Prabhupada's glory days in New York. There was the 55th Street property, which is 5 minutes from Central Park. You know, you can't have a better location than that building. It was really, really a great location. So close to the 5 minutes from the Trump Tower, actually. So it was a glorious area, and it was Prabhupada's victory days in New York. And then they went for a Ratha Yatra in New York on Fifth Avenue. Now, the city, you know, the city traffic said, no way, you know, I mean, like, we're not allowing any new parades on Fifth Avenue. There's no question, no question. Right, and then Toshan Krishna, another early San Francisco devotee from 67, he is very smart. So he went and he got the permit for Ratha Yatra. And Prabhupada said, how did you get the permit? He said, I just told him that there would be 3 hand-pulled carts. Right, you know, sounding like a small thing, you know. It's only 3 hand-pulled carts. Okay, that's not really a parade. You can have that. Then Jayananda built the carts, right? He built the 3 hand-pulled carts, and he built serious carts, right? I mean, big carts. And but somehow or other, Kesava Bharati saw that Jayananda was in pain one day. He was alone, and Jayananda was alone, and no one saw him. And Kesava Bharati just walked in on him and saw he was cringing in pain. And it turned out, then, Jayananda, what's going on? What's going on? Then Jayananda said, okay, I'll show you. But don't tell anybody. Then he showed his armpit and the lymph nodes. We were all like swollen. There was a whole like a bunch of grapes there. It was an excruciating pain. Leukemia. But Jayananda made Kesava Bharati swear not to tell anyone. And then he just, yeah, somehow or other went on and finished the cards. And then during the parade, somehow or other, nowadays we have a steering wheel under the cart and a driver sitting under the cart, and that's become the standard design. But in Jayananda's design, there was a rudder at the front, you know, like he was walking at the in front of the chariot, holding that rudder. And as he was holding the rudder and steering the chariot, he was dancing and he was in ecstasy going down Fifth Avenue. And it was such a victory march. And Prabhupada was so pleased. I mean, here was Ratha Yatra on Fifth Avenue, right? The most prestigious road, you know, that gets the attention of the whole world, and Ratha Yatra was there, and Ratha Yatra is still there on Fifth, and never left Fifth Avenue, and is still there. And this was all possible by Jayananda. But then, of course, after that, yeah, the disease started to come out, and it was not only in the armpits, but also in the groin. He could not walk anymore. He was in a wheelchair. Then his parents somehow or other gave $5,000, you know, for a special cure he could try, right? And Jayananda just gave it to Prabhupada to print the Krishna book, right? Prabhupada's looking for money for the Krishna book. And he just gave that money. And Prabhupada, you know, you can see that there are acknowledgements, and Prabhupada is thanking Jayananda for that donation of 5,000. But that was really not just a donation. That was like, you know, Yeah, he gave away his possible cure and just gave it all to Prabhupada. He was in the hospital, and he didn't want to sleep in the hospital bed. So he's sleeping on the floor. He put a blanket on the floor and a pillow on the floor, and on the bed he put a picture of Prabhupada. And in this way, he was worshipping Prabhupada. And he was just, of course, Jayananda left this world on May 1st, 1977. Jayananda wanted, he was like Haridas Thakur, he wanted to leave before Prabhupada, as Haridas wanted to leave before Lord Chaitanya's disappearance. He didn't want to see that. Jayananda had that mood, you know. He said he wanted to go before Prabhupada, and he did. So Jayananda left. Prabhupada was not personally present, but Prabhupada got the news of Jayananda's departure. A letter was written, because that's what the communication was. So Prabhupada wrote a letter back on these blue aerograms. And Prabhupada wrote a letter. And in that letter, Prabhupada wrote that Jayananda was such a wonderful devotee. He did so much service. He was so dedicated. But if Jayananda still had any material desire, then he would have attained the heavenly planets and stay there for a lengthy period of time, and then continue his service in this movement. Then the devotees wrote back to Srila Prabhupada that Jayananda left his body, and that there was kirtan during that time. And then Srila Prabhupada wrote back that, if there was kirtan, then surely he went back to Godhead. Now, why Prabhupada wrote in that way? Prabhupada was always the acharya. Prabhupada was always the teacher. He was always teaching the devotees. Whether Jayananda was not qualified to go back to Godhead, and that it was the mercy of the holy name that carried, or whether Jayananda was very qualified to go back to Godhead. To us, it appears that he was very qualified to go back to Godhead, because he was non-envious, he had fully dedicated himself to devotional service, he had tirelessly served and inspired the devotees and the preaching, and that in itself is sufficient to conquer Krishna and to go back to Godhead. But to teach the devotees, the Prabhupada still wrote like this, that we should not take things cheaply, and that we should understand how much we depend on mercy. And so Jayananda's glories are fully recognized. One time, Jayananda had been working hard, and he was sitting in a class that Srila Prabhupada gave, and he was sitting at the back, and he fell asleep. So one of the devotees wanted to wake him up. And Prabhupada said, "No, let him sleep. He works very hard." So Prabhupada had so much appreciation, for Jayananda. Prabhupada was deeply moved by Jayananda. Jayananda purchased Srila Prabhupada's deep love and appreciation. And this is what it means to be a disciple. To be a disciple is not a cheap thing. It's not just a thing of getting a recognition, getting a name, and you're in, you know. It's not just, well, my guru doesn't enter my messages, or it's not just, what am I getting? No. Disciple is, what am I giving? And disciple is, somehow or other, give everything. Give everything that we can in pleasing the spiritual master, so much so that the heart of the spiritual master melts. And that is what Jayananda managed to do. He managed to melt the heart of Srila Prabhupada, and therefore he was Prabhupada's most dear disciple. And Prabhupada instructed that his picture should be placed on the Rath Yatra cart, that it should always be there. And Prabhupada also instructed that his name should be added onto the Panjika, the Vaishnav calendar. So what we're doing today is directly ordered by Srila Prabhupada. The fact that we are observing the disappearance day of Jayananda is not just like, well, it's a nice thing to do. It's something, you know, he's an aspiring personality. Let's do a program dedicated to Jayananda. You know, there's so many amazing devotees, and let's today do Jayananda, and tomorrow we do someone else. No, Prabhupada personally instructed that his name should be there on the Vaishnav calendar. So the day before Nrisimha Chaturdasi, we can just mentally note it and mark it. That day is the disappearance day of Jayananda Prabhu, and we are just by commemorating Jayananda's life. I could have done better in my homework, I confess. I had a busy week and I couldn't manage any homework. So I'm just relying on memory today. I'm sorry, I should have brought you more. I forgot some story. There was something about some boy from American Indian origin, beaver, and this or that. And something happened with beaver, and I tried, what happened with beaver? It's breaking my head on. It was a good story, the beaver story, but... Oh, I forgot what to do. I Googled it, didn't find it. So, but I hope that this tradition of remembering Jayananda will continue for the purification of ISKCON, because Jayananda was really an ISKCON saint, showing that just fully dedicating oneself in the here and now, in this movement, is the perfect path, and that it doesn't need anything else. It's all it takes. Just do that kitchen cleanup. It's all it takes. And take lots of prasadam. Lots of. One devotee ate this incredible plate that Jayananda brought him. And he said, I can't eat that. Jayananda made him eat it. Then when he ate it, he put another plate like that in front of him. He said, this is impossible. Then he says, Prabhupada said you should eat until you waddle like a duck. And he ate the second plate. So, let us serve, let us chant, let us take plentiful of prasadam, and let us somehow or other serve Srila Prabhupada and assist him in his mission, and success guaranteed. And the proof is Jayananda. Thank you very much. If there's someone else who remembers something, then they can add something for a few minutes, and then we'll wrap up. Anybody remembers a story? Yeah, Sutupa.
Thank you, Maharaj. I was just remembering how you were saying that Jayananda Prabhu, he wasn't just a hard worker, but he had his Gita and he was philosophical. And there's this one story where they were making the Rath Yatra carts, and then he had this hacksaw, and he was just like, you know, just going through the wood, you know, giving all his elbow grease, and then somehow or other the hacksaw slipped and it just cut his whole hand. And it was just like bleeding, and all the devotees came around and they gathered around him, and you know, everyone was clamoring for like a plaster and a bandage, and he just told everyone, stop, get the Gita. Everyone was like, no, your hand. He said, get the Gita. And then he went to the 14th chapter and he started reciting verses about the mode of passion. And he started giving a whole class while his hand was like bleeding on the mode of passion. So just very transcendental, very amazing.
Very transcendental. Yeah, interesting. Okay. Yes, please.
I didn't have a story, but I just wanted to confirm.
If you turn it a little like that, it's better.
Haribol. I don't have a story, but I just wanted to confirm. Was it Jayananda Prabhu who, there was a young man, and he got him to nail things into the cart, and he said he just picked him up off the street, and then he said to him, that's really good. He just like, can I just borrow you for a minute? And said that, okay, nail this here. And then he thought, okay, he's done that. He did a favor, and he's going to go on his way. He said, actually, since you're here, can you nail this as well? And he said, okay. And then he did that nail, and then he said, okay, actually, you know what, just hang on a minute. And then basically got him to basically just stay there and do service for hours, and then he obviously...
Yeah. He joined the party, that devotee, that person. He became a devotee. The way I heard the story is Jayananda just basically told him, can you hold this plank? Would you mind just putting some nails here? Threw him the hammer, he put some nails, then he says, wow, are you a carpenter? And then guy says, no, I'm not. He said, well, you're really good, you know. You mind, you know, giving me a hand here? And he flatters him more, and yeah, he made the guy feel so good that he just joined in and became part of the team.
Maharaj, was that person, was he the one who became Jaipatak Maharaj?
That I have never heard, no. That you have to ask Jaipatak Maharaj. Don't be shy. Jaipatak Maharaj likes it when you ask him such questions. He loves that, actually. He really loves that, yeah. So please ask him. Yeah. You know, these are the sort of questions that make him bring him alive. Yeah. Okay. So I thank you very much. Srila Jayananda Prabhu Thakur Ki Jai. Srila Jayananda Tirubhav Mahamahotsav Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru Sri Gauranga, glories to Sri Prabhupada.